Well, God bless everybody. It's good to hear your voices and be able to share the word tonight. I want to talk about, I'll ask you a question, actually. Have you ever thought about what God thought about you? I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I thought, oh God, how do you even know me? Because we do at times make mistakes and bad judgments, but you know, God took care of all that right in the beginning. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 through 25, you see that God's thoughts had already, as men and women, as his children, had already come to his thinking. Because in Genesis 2 through 25, which we're not going to read, but you might want to read later sometime, God prepared for the greatest thing that he ever created. And that was in Genesis 1, verse 26. So let's go there to begin with. And remember, this is thoughts that God has towards us. I think you're going to get really blessed with this tonight. So verse 26, we're going to go through 26 to 28. When God said, after he prepared, and if you go back and read that, it is amazing. It's amazing. I've read it over and over, but it really came out during this teaching in a much brighter way for my heart. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Already, what he's going to make is man, is us, in his image, according to his likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God thought of everything that he could give man, and then he created man. So our thoughts were a part of his design, of his plan. God thought of everything we needed. He blessed it. And then he gave us dominion over it. Now, we all know the story, and we're not going to go into all of that what happened, but God had a plan. It got blown out of the water, but his first plan, but he had another plan. But tonight, we're just going to look at the thoughts that God has of us. So let's go to Psalm 139. Some really beautiful verses dealing with this stuff. Verse 16, your eyes, this is David wrote this, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. David realized how great God saw mankind, how great God intended man to live and to be. And he was thankful. And I love this verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? Because I know there's times when I've doubted who I am. I've had doubts about, well, did I do this right? I blew it there and I blew it there. But you know what? God's thoughts should be the things I correct myself with. Wait a minute, Vic. God loves you. God thinks you're the greatest. You're his kid. Instead of letting the adversary put negative thoughts in our minds, we should follow David's guidance here. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? And many times it is the word that God brings to our remembrance, you guys, when we blow it and when we're just moving along in life. He can show us such great things that he sees in us, that he sees ahead for us. Go to Isaiah 55. we'll see some more of God's thoughts. 55 verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts about us comes perfectly from his heart of love. Everything God does for mankind and will do for mankind comes from a heart of love. God is love. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And when he says that his thoughts are above our thoughts, I think about, yeah, they are, but he had them written down so we could see them, so we could know them. He gave us his word from Genesis to Revelation. It's full of so much understanding of God's heart towards his people. So many times he gets us out of hot water through the centuries. And what's ahead for us? What a wonderful, loving God we have. And his thoughts are always thoughts of love for us. Look at Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's thoughts of his people have always and always will be full of love. And that future includes the hope for us, the hope of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen whenever God wants it to happen, and it's going to be glorious. Go to John 3:16. When we talk about God's thoughts towards us, we cannot leave this earth out. There's no way we can't look at John 3:16. And I know all of us are familiar with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mention, when God made the decision to create man, he had a plan. And when that plan went kittywampus, he already had another plan. And that was the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. And we get to be a part of that. You know, God's thoughts for us will never be negative. God wants us to see how he sees us. That's why there's so many verses about this in the Word. I just picked out a few. And the heart of his love to send his only begotten Son takes the pressure off us, because it's not about us doing everything right. God sees us doing everything right, and he sees where we blow it. But where we blow it, those thoughts are already covered by the life of Jesus Christ. It's not about how good I am or how bad I am. It's how he gave his life for our redemption, for the forgiveness of sin. Now, for me, that just encouraged me to try to be more faithful, to do the things that I know God wants me to do, and not to think thoughts about myself or others that aren't lined up with how God sees it. We should look at each other and see the Christ in one another, because that's really what this is all about in this administration to us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Remember, these are God's words written. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, nope. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, through God, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a statement of truth. What a great statement of truth. God loves us, and it doesn't matter what happens in our lives. How many times we don't blow it, how many times we do blow it. That love is never going to leave us. And Christ has done what he had to do so that we can live like this. We need to think of each other and ourselves through the eyes of God, because it cost him something. And it cost us, honestly, very little when we're walking with God to see the miracles, to see the things that he does in our life. It's when we step out of that line of thinking that things really can go kittywampus in our own lives, which isn't the way God wants it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. There's another great verse, a couple of verses here. It's so interesting when I go to do a study, something like this. There's so much throughout the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, church epistles, and I'm trying to stay in the church epistles because those are written directly to us, but there are so many examples throughout God's Word of how much he loves us, how beautiful he thinks we are. He adores us. He says we are the apple of his eyes. I mean, think of, when you read that first part of Genesis, you guys, think about every little detail he covered, everything he created, everything he did to earth, he did because he knew he was going to put a man and a woman here. His thoughts were already there. I mean, to me, that just, it's a mind blower when I think about it. So Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, but God, I love the but God, you guys know, I had to put a but God verse in. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his what? Great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God's thoughts are always the same way. He looks at us and he sees Christ. He sees Christ in us. He sees our love for him as we commit ourselves to doing the word to the best of our ability. And when we blow it, he sees Christ in us. He loves us. He's there to pick us up, brush us off, and say, okay, go at it again. I'm right here with you. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. I said it before, I'll say it again. God's thoughts about us always come from a perfect heart of love to us. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now, today, tonight, tomorrow, from now until we either fall asleep or Christ comes back, now we are children of God, and it's not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Now think about those words. These are God's thoughts to us. God wanted this written so we could read this. He wants us to know how much he loves us, how much he thinks how wonderful we are. I know, I know. Sometimes I have a hard time thinking I'm wonderful. So I get it. Or maybe somebody that I'm mad at for a moment or two. Not really, Barney. I'm just kidding. I just know that there are times when our thoughts don't wind up with God's thoughts. And we need to grab them and say, no, I'm not going to rob God from his thoughts of me by putting my negative thoughts about myself or someone else, a brother, sister in Christ, apart from God's thoughts of how we are and how he sees us and what he's made us to be. Wow, it's amazing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, as Jesus Christ, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And those are good questions. Those are good thoughts that we need to take to the Word. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And isn't that the way that God loved us? He created mankind. He saved mankind. He sent his only begotten Son so that we could all have redemption and forgiveness and at some point live in eternity with God and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did something. He just didn't say he was going to do it. He did it. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart, this is cool, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Wow. I mean, I don't find that heavy to carry. When I read that, that's just like, okay, God, that's the way it's got to be. Because these thoughts that are in God's Word, whether they're written for our learning or they're written directly to us, they're God's heart to us. They're God's asking us to allow him to direct our path, to allow him to fill our life because of the love he has for us. He gave his only begotten Son for us. And those are the thoughts that he thinks about us, these things in his Word. And there's doctrine, there's reproof, there's correction, and all of that is important in understanding the treasure that we are to him. So the next time you find yourself thinking, I ain't so great, or I didn't do this right or that right, stop. Stop. That's a lie from the devil. You may have made a mistake, but you didn't blow it. Because God set it up, once we confess, Romans 10, 9, and 10, God set it up where no one can take that spirit from us, not even our own little mistakes or even a big mistake, because God's love and God's thoughts towards us is greater than anything we could do. So God bless you. I love you guys, and you're the best.